Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is day number 56 of America Held Hostage. It's the 16th day of March, 2021. Again, Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Well, I suppose they can try, but they're not going to silence us. They won't silence us. Have a great show lined up for you. The first hour, first segment of the first hour. Folks, you're going to have to really pay attention because there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes under the calmness. Yeah, well, not quite calm. Under the ripples of the water, there's a lot of things taking place that you need to know about. We need to pay attention to because history does repeat itself, or at least it rhymes, as they say. And I want everyone really to pay attention. I put together a video clip, from a variety of sources. Okay. Because, this is what we're, the clip that I'll show you is what's going to be happening here in the near term. Currently, right now, of course, Washington Post, you know, the fake Trump, President Trump quote, you know, what the Washington Post did, and if you're unfamiliar with what happened, you don't pay attention to the mainstream media. They made a quote out of whole cloth and just absolutely misrepresented what President Trump had said. And then other news, mainstream media sources picked up on it, said, we independently verified it when it was all just made up hokum. All right. Folks, also be prepared for a hell of a tax increase. Yeah, that's coming. I want to tell you something else too, in case you didn't know this. The COVID spending package, if every taxpayer was allowed to get what the net out the their share from this COVID tax bill, okay, you would be receiving $41,870. You think that would help a small business? Do you think that would help you and me? Oh, yes. So the $1,400, where's the rest of the money going? It's going to pet projects. It's going to fund the lobbyists. And folks, I'll tell you this too. Okay. There is no right. There is no left or Republican Party and Democratic Party. It's the uniparty. It's the elite, the global elite, the satanic global elite overlord wannabes versus you and I. That's where we're at. The trouble at the southern border right now, in case you haven't seen this, eight illegal aliens dead after a head-on crash in Texas. Okay, if you haven't watched what's taking place at the southern border, there was a great Twitter picture to really kind of put everything in perspective. You have a 751-foot-long single building known as the U.S. Capitol. You've got really a 2-square-mile area that is surrounded by fence and concertina wire that building, we the people own, we pay for that building, and we pay the salaries of the people who are there to supposedly represent us. Yet we cannot gain access to that building. Yet there are military pointing their weapons at us. So there was a great tweet. I don't know who to, I'm sure it's up there. Okay. I can't read it, but you folks on the screen, you can read it. Look. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Casey Landry. Look at this picture. On the left, folks, if you are watching this on Rumble or Brighteon or HagmanReport.com, you can see the images, and I do hope that you watch as well as listen to this. On the left is Washington, D.C. at the current moment. That's right. Look at the fortification there. The military presence of vehicles. The fencing. And I really believe that they are going to attempt to make that permanent versus the southern border, the border with U.S. and Mexico. That's the traditional wall that you know, is left. Okay. That's called a, well, that, I don't even know what that's called, but it, you know, folks, I could build a better fence than that. All right. Now I know that President Trump, 500 miles of new and revised fencing. Okay. So in other words, replacing that kind of fencing, but there really is no border protection at all. To make matters worse, they're shipping tens of thousands of illegals into cities all across the United States. Right now, 3,000 illegals, specifically illegal alien teenagers, 3,000 are being shipped into Dallas, Texas. Okay. And here's the other part of this. You've got Catholic charities. You've got church or Christian charities. And I use that term loosely, who are getting paid per head, per person, per capita, however you want to put it, to transport and house these illegals in your community, in my community, in communities all across the United States. And many of them, number one, they're disease carrying. Number two, they're illegal, period. Okay. They are illegal, but this is the Obama legacy. This is Obama. This is everyone who supported and supports Obama. These are the people behind Obama. This is his agenda. Valerie Jarrett, Samantha Power, who, by the way, are in the Biden regime. John Carlin. And you've got all of the departments, all of the executive level departments infiltrated by the Obama people who have been resurrected or held over or that President Trump did not get rid of. But specifically, for example, Samantha Power, John Carlin, and I'm forgetting some. Okay. But just a number of people, who are brought back. But these are the people who are actually behind all of this Biden agenda. Biden's not running anything. Biden is Mr. Marbles. That's what Biden is. Okay. Now, another issue here. Yesterday, Conservative Treehouse, great job in reporting this. Sundance from Conservative Treehouse yesterday. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene happened to make reference to, made a mistake about, Guam being, not part of some stupid comment that was, you know, not part of the United States. All right. It was not a U.S. territory or it made it seem like the United States or the Guam was not a U.S. territory. So, all right. Whoops. Okay. Don't forget Representative Hank Johnson talking about Guam tipping over. No, that wasn't. He didn't say that in jest. Hey, remember that, folks? You're sending too many military in Guam. And what, if the biggest point is like 12 miles and at the smallest point is like 7 miles? Aren't you, Admiral, aren't you worried, General, whatever? Aren't you worried about Guam capsizing? And you know, people saying, oh, he was kidding. My buddy was kidding. So Marjorie Taylor Greene makes one mistake, or that mistake, you know, about Guam being not part of the U.S., and saying that, well, we really shouldn't send funds to foreign aid overseas or whatever. All right. So here's what happened. And this is on Conservative Treehouse. Folks, go to Conservative Treehouse, bookmark that website, and make sure you follow because there's a lot of great information there. So what happens? And you can read this and you can watch the video in Conservative Treehouse. The military was used as a tool. Democrats march willing military troops into Capitol to intimidate civilian representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. If you can scroll up on that picture, if you don't mind, to that picture. Okay, now, if that was Donald Trump doing that, if that was under Trump's administration doing that, what do you think would happen? You see the double standard here? I hope everyone sees this, and I hope to God that everyone in America pays attention to what the hell is going on here. We are undergoing right now a coup, and it all goes back to November 3rd, and no one's doing a damn thing about it. And when we try to do something about it, we get put down because we play too nice, in my view. Now, scroll up if you don't mind, because that's, folks, read the article. And understand, we are under, the United States is a captured operation. All right, scroll up to the next article, if you don't mind. Because this is an extension of what you just saw. The question is, what's going on with U.S. military and Democrat politicization of the institution? And I'm not going to read this on air. I would like you to read this article. But for those listening on by way of Global Star Satellite Radio, there are numerous reports U.S. military engaging in recent political activity that has raised some eyebrows. Many are wondering what's going on, and there's likely an alarming reason. Consider the specific examples over the past few years. I would argue the Democrats are positioning for use of the military in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. Period. Okay, period, right there. Exclamation point, no emojis, just understand that comment. Now, to my conservative friends out there who say, well, yeah, I don't think so. That's just a conspiracy theory. And haven't you been mocked and successful? Haven't you been taken down before for conspiracy theories? Yeah, okay. Let me remind people. Here's what I put together. I did some research. Up half the day and night and half the night and all day and going through doing research. And how many people, show of hands out there, how many people remember Hurricane Katrina? Okay. Mid-2000s Bush. You get the idea, right? So I want to thank guns.com. I believe it's guns.com. I think I took some of this from the NRA. I think I took, a lot of this. I will, in the program description box, have the source audios or videos to all of these. But this is going to really put into perspective the second segment with Coach Dobenmeyer. And I know when Coach comes on, I know the left goes nuts. And I know people over at the Right Wing Watch, they just, their hair is on fire and they're running from room to room and they're saying, oh my gosh! Oh, wait until you see. You want plans into action? I'm going to tell you something. We are not going to lay down, roll over, and take it in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, right? They're coming for you. No, they're not. That's just a conspiracy theory. They would have come. No, they're not going to take your guns. There's no gun confiscation. Well, let's take a look at not-so-distant history, shall we? This is what I put together. Now, folks, please, before I cut to this, because this is going to take me to the bottom, almost to the bottom of the hour, here's what I want you to do. I want to take this moment right now and ask you, please, please, please tell others about this program. Please share this program. Share HagmanReport.com or our video page or whatever. Please tell others about this program. Please subscribe to us on Rumble. Please subscribe to us on Brighteon. Because here's the end game, or here's the end situation. You call 911 one day. There ain't no answer. There's not going to be an answer. You call for help. Ain't no one coming to your aid. Something happens, a catastrophe. There's not going to be anyone coming to help you. Understand that. You are on your own. We are all on our own. And you look for justice in the courts. It ain't happening. You know why? Because the court system has been, they're full of Maoist, Marxist, ideological morons who are really contaminating and have overtaken and captured our system of justice. There's no justice anymore. There's no Supreme Court anymore. There, you know, I hate to break this to you. There's no plan. Well, there is a plan, but it's not. The plan is for you and I. It's a cookbook, if you get my reference. So watch this carefully. So please do that. Subscribe to us on Rumble. Subscribe to us on Brighteon, both. Subscribe to us on Spreaker. Spread the word. But do not skip over between now and the end of this hour. Do not skip this video. I put this together. Again, the sources will be in the program description box. I want to thank those sources, guns.com, NRA, for allowing me to use the video footage. All credit goes to them. Fox News, CNN, and various other stations as well. Local affiliates. I hope I got them all. If not, again, check HagmanReport.com program description box. Watch this. Do not fast forward. Do not adjust your set. This is coming. It is coming. This, what you're about to see will be a walk in the park compared to what's coming. Go ahead.
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
Police, open the door!
They had AR-15s or M-16s. They were pointing at us.
They told us, put your hands up in the air. Let us see your hands.
They're drawing down on me, and they let the looters run rampant for over a week? Are you kidding me?
I really thought they were going to kill me. I really did.
They didn't care what your rights were. They were going to deny them.
You're letting the thugs get away with everything, and you're coming to honest, good citizens and taking away their protection, and it is wrong, wrong, wrong.
But still, the order had been given for police and National Guard to go house to house, often with guns drawn, to evacuate residents and confiscate their firearms.
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
It was a human drama with emotions and tensions running high. Patty Connie is still trying to recover physically and emotionally.
They really did a number on me.
From the day police forced her from her home.
It was traumatic. All of a sudden, they were banging on the front door, the side door, and the back door. And they said, let us in.
Patty tried to explain. She was on dry land, she had plenty of food and water, and didn't want to abandon her dogs. But it didn't matter.
If you see six or eight police that look like linebackers pushing you in a corner, you're in shock. I'm saying, look at all my food. I got plenty of food. They kept pushing me back, and ended up like this.
Then Patty showed them a small revolver she was carefully holding in the palm of her hand. A camera crew was there to capture what unfolded next.
I said, it's not even loaded. And I dropped it on the floor.
You got a gun.
Well, they punched me in the face.
Left now.
Look at my black and blue marks. Look at what they did to me. They dragged me out of here. How could this happen in America?
You're treated like a criminal, and you did nothing wrong. So your rights are alien out the window.
Richard Styron was in his friend's bass boat trying to salvage his gun collection before the looters stole it when they got stopped by a St. Tammany Parish sheriff's boat.
And we've had policemen tell us that that's what they wanted us to do, but not the sheriff in St. Tammany. They just wanted to confiscate it from us.
We felt like criminals at the time when they come up to us with M-16s or AR-15s, whatever it was, but there were four of them with rifles and holding on us.
He said, be thankful we're taking your guns here. Why should I be thankful? Well, if they catch you with them on land, they're going to take you straight to jail.
I felt like it was un-American and then we had been violated.
They took something from you. They stole something from you. That's the only way to put it. They took something that they didn't have a right to take.
And the more I think about it, the madder I get.
Jim Richard's home was badly damaged by Katrina. But when he tried to save his gun collection,
had most of them stored up top.
It too was confiscated by law enforcement.
You know, they had no jurisdiction here. I'm a law-abiding citizen, protecting myself, you know.
Oh, I can't have
property. You know, they had no right to take it.
But the authorities didn't stop there.
What I feel is that we're losing control of who we are as a nation.
Robert Zoss was forced to evacuate when a tree destroyed both of his family's homes.
loaded with dogs, kids, people.
Then, as they were exiting through downtown, the unexpected happened.
These cops came out of nowhere, said stop, and asked, do we have weapons in the car? And I told him, yeah, I do. He said, get out the vehicle, had us all sit cross-legged in front while they searched the vehicle.
But Robert couldn't believe what he watched police do next to his rifle and his friend's Pearl Handle revolver.
I saw them smash her gun given to her by grandmother, grandfather, just against the curb. The other things that they busted up, the .22 rifle they busted up, these were police officers that went too far.
A breakdown in law and order.
There was mayhem. New Orleans police did not have control of the city anymore.
The safety net had snapped. Phone lines and cell towers were down.
911 wasn't answering the phone. Our police department wasn't answering the phone. You couldn't find a policeman.
They had no police or military presence in this neighborhood whatsoever.
It was just you and that constant feeling of hopelessness, of living in fear, knowing there was no easy way out.
There was so much gunfire around here. At nighttime, you could smell it in your nose and taste it in your taste buds.
The post-Katrina world turned right and wrong on its head. Looters ruled this city for over a week post-storm without fear of law enforcement.
Your rights were just done away with.
Buell Teal, a commercial crabber, was asked by emergency personnel to help find a safe water route for a barge carrying supplies to get into New Orleans. Then suddenly, a sheriff's boat with five officers on board, armed with automatic rifles, sped towards them.
They didn't just have them pointed from their hip, they had them up at their shoulder and asked if we had any weapons on board. I told them, yes, we had two weapons. They said, get at the back of the boat with your hands in the air. We're coming aboard to search.
Search and then seize Buell's firearms.
Gun confiscation.
And when Buell asked for a receipt, the officers flatly refused.
You got a Second Amendment law on the books, and there's just total disregard for it. They violated my rights as far as search and seizure. They had no search warrant.
Most of the people we talk with say they are living proof of what will happen if we let it. Our guns confiscated, our individual freedoms taken away. That's not Louisiana. That's not America.
Absolutely not. Nazi Germany, Cuba, People's Republic of China, North Korea, yes, but not America. Not America.
Heed the warning of what this was. This is like Australia. All of a sudden, boom, they got our rights.
This isn't freedom. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody.
It means a lot to me now because I know what it feels like to have them taken away.
One day, about a week and a half after the hurricane had passed, absolutely hundreds of police officers poured into New Orleans from all over the country. So these three California highway patrolmen showed up at her home one day.
It was reporters and the police that came and they banged on my door, at every door, all three doors. I told the police, I said, I don't want you in my house. And I had a legal right to say that.
They said,
do you have any
arms? There's a reason. Okay. There's a reason this is in here twice. Okay. This, understand, the only reason that this woman is telling her story and has any mainstream media credibility as if she needs that is because of this next segment here, okay, which you might have seen in the initial. I can't remember when I was putting this together, but you've got to see it again and understand what she is saying, okay? Again, remember, this is 16 years ago and how quickly we have forgotten, but go ahead and continue.
And I said, yeah, I have a gun and I have a switchblade. And they said, well, let's see it. So I went in my bedroom. I brought it out. And I said, it's not even loaded. This is an antique gun. It's 100 years old. This guy came, four of them came charging me.
They executed what you call a takedown maneuver. They grabbed her arm, slammed her against the wall, and dropped. Well, these guys look like fullbacks. To their unfortunate dismay, they had a camera crew following them, and they videotaped the whole thing. And she's crying the whole way and said, no, no, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. Well, when she got to South Carolina, where they evacuated her to, she complained so much of the pain, they finally x-rayed her, and they had broken her shoulder in two places, cracked a tooth. It was pretty bad.
Residents were handcuffed on the ground. In the end, police took their weapons but let them stay in their homes.
It wasn't but like two bars open in all of New Orleans, and Cajuns had cold beer because Joanne had squirreled away gasoline and she was running everything off generators.
When I did break out the guns, it got a little scary because there was no signs of any authority at all.
They would loot all around her. She watched them breaking into stores around her. And as far as the eye can see on Clay Claude Avenue, on both sides of the street, every building was looted when we went down there except hers.
Okay, can you pause
it
up for a second?
Jet black.
Okay. What do you think Portland would look like? What do you think Seattle would look like? What do you think Kenosha might look like if just one or two or all of the shop owners stood there with rifles? What would happen? Do you think the looters, the Antifa and BLM, do you think they would move on? Or do you think that in those blue cities, with those blue mayors, with those blue leftist police chiefs, do you think that they would disarm the law-abiding who are protecting their own property? Do you think that they would disarm you and me? Go ahead and continue.
Everybody was trying to protect themselves.
I was thinking of my life and my son's life.
I was a victim. My family was a victim. And it's not going to happen again.
Vinnie Purvell and his neighbors at Algiers Point had survived Hurricane Katrina, but they weren't sure they would survive the ruthless attacks by armed looters.
There was one point we became fearful for our lives.
It was the day after the storm, and Vinny was out checking on some neighbors' homes when two thugs clubbed him with a sledgehammer and carjacked his van.
And then one of them stood over me with the mall and said, don't move, we want your truck. So the other one dug through my pocket, got the keys, got in the van, and took off. It was a police car just a few feet behind them, but he wouldn't pursue it.
Vinny knew then they were in trouble. No police protection meant that the looters would keep coming back, and they did.
Three young men came through. There was gunfire, about 20 rounds fired right in front of me. My mom jumped on the floor.
Gunfire that hit too close to home. So Vinny pulled out an old shotgun that had been given to them.
Back when we came home with it, we didn't like guns, so we put it in the back of a closet and just left it there and actually forgot about it.
But not anymore. They used that shotgun and some firearms borrowed from neighbors who had left town to set up Fort Pelican, a watchtower on Vinny's balcony, all to keep the thugs out.
We sat here on his balcony at nighttime, slept on his balcony in the chairs, and you hear gunfire all over.
Well, we didn't see a policeman, and we couldn't call 911 up.
And until this occurrence here, I didn't realize what the necessity was for it. But now I do. Now I'm going to get me a gun. I'm going to learn how to use that gun. I'm going to protect my home.
Go get one. If you're an honest citizen, get one.
But Marie remembers how upset she got when the police department threatened to take her firearm.
And no one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
So what you come and get my gun for? I'm a good citizen. Why don't you go get some of these people that's murdering people and robbing the stores and breaking in homes and everything? What are you worrying about me for? I'm a widow. I'm 65. I'm here by myself.
We as black people, it's time. It's time for us to come together. It's time for us to rebuild a New Orleans, the one that should be a chocolate New Orleans. And I don't care what people are saying uptown or wherever they are. This city will be chocolate at the end of the day.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, he's in jail or was incarcerated, found guilty and tossed in jail. That's the former mayor of New Orleans. All right. 12 minutes roughly in that video. How quickly we forget The rights of every American citizen are being denied. It began a long time ago and continues with ferocity right now, great ferocity right now. The leftist globalist scumbaggery from, in my view, from the Mark Zuckerbergs and the Jack Dorseys to the politicians in Congress. I don't care if they're self-identified as Republicans or Democrats. Those people, the single party that rules and goads over all of us, that is okay with a wall around the people's house, but not okay with a wall to protect our country. That's okay with taking your guns away. And I should add, the stand down orders, and you can look this up. The, you know, the NICS system, when you go buy a weapon, well, guess what? We don't want to really press the issue with illegal aliens coming into this country. Can you believe that? Oh, yes. It's built into the framework of the gun legislation. You're not, I mean, illegal aliens, we can't deny you of your gun ownership rights. See, this is, we are now in a time where this is for all of the marbles. We either do or die. There is no try. There is no keyboard warrior. Well, there are. There is nothing less than action right now. Everyone has to reach in, find their guts, find their moral center, their moral compass. Read the Constitution. By the way, the Constitution has remedies for the very situation in which we find ourselves today. But understand this. It's only going to take place if we do it. It's up to us. Something happens, ain't no dialing 911. They're not coming, sorry to tell you. And if they do, they'll probably take your gun. And you'll notice in there, and there's a lot of information in there when you really look at that video. They imported police officers from different states. John Moore and I talk, you know, well, you get to know your sheriff. Well, that works only if you are dealing with your local sheriff and not some leftist cop from Portland or Seattle who doesn't know you from anyone. Understand the time is now. The time is late. We must act as a whole patriotic group of citizens with righteous anger, with, and when I say this, I mean understanding the Ten Commandments and abiding by that, with God-like authority, or authority bestowed upon us by Almighty God as delineated within our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. I'm not calling for bloodshed. I'm not calling for go out there and take over. No, what I'm saying is we better arm up. We better get ready because what is coming, Katrina, yeah, it was a huge hurricane, but we've got a Landocane coming and it's engulfing the entirety of our country. Very interesting as well because Coach Dave Dobmeier, CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com is with me right now. And I think he might have something to say about this because it's my understanding. If you want to, can we play that clip in advance of his arrival or no? Okay. Watch this, folks, and tell me if this isn't a great segue. Go ahead. Thank you. 15 Darlings being brought in for everyone. How you can handle yourself. I know that the radio audience, they don't like dead air or air that just has music. So, Coach, how are you, sir?
Doug, I'm fired up. Man, I asked Eric to let me get in here a little early so I could watch. And, you know, I cut my teeth down at Katrina.
I know you did.
I forgot all about that stuff that was going on. And wow. Well, great to be here, Doug. I appreciate it. Folks, so that you out there know, Doug gives us free time to be able to come on here and talk about the things that we do. And this is a great platform, Doug. And I always get a good pop and a good bump from, after being on the Hagman reports. I just want to appreciate, let you know I appreciate it. And Eric is always, so willing to help. And, it's a great, great venue, Doug. And, I just wanted to come on and try to, you know, it's been a year, Doug, since, most people have been doing anything, and a lot of things they've been doing have been, virtual events, right? Virtual conferences and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was on the conference, circle, and I get it, and they understand the importance of it, but nobody's done anything, a real one in-person training or conferencing in quite a long time. And we have two of them that are, that I think are important, especially after what you just exposed here today, Doug. And I got a hold of him and said, can I come on and expose this to the Hagman crowd? Because we think these are the guys that probably need the most about it. And, you know, while everybody's been sitting around, there's two things that you can do, Doug. You can sit around and you can watch and you can wait on QAnon and you can wait on all the, and as you said, brother, when you dial 911, I live out in the country. I dial 911. It's a while before somebody's going to get here anyway, but, we see perilous times coming and that, we got to be prepared. We got to be prepared to protect ourselves. So having said that, we got two events coming up, Doug, that I would like to expose the Hagman family to, and I do consider a lot of family people out there, Doug. We see there's two aspects going on. There's a spiritual component that's certainly happening right now, and there's a physical or natural component that's going on as well. And so we're trying to figure out how we can best meet both of those needs. So first thing we're going to do, Doug, where it's the second, I'm going to do them actually in reverse order. You already played Chad's Embattled Warrior Training video. I'll get to that here in a second. Russ Dizdar, we all know Russ. God bless Russ. Russ is really, really overwhelmed with everything that he's doing. And I tried to get a hold of him to have him do a conference. And, I went to lunch with him and he said, Coach, I'm just overwhelmed. He says, just so much going on and my radio show's taken off and the responses I get from those. Yeah, I don't have time to organize. I can't organize one. So he called me about 3 weeks later, says, Coach, I'll tell you what. So let's try this plan. If you'll organize it, I'll bring my team and we'll come. He said, because I'm seeing out more and more that the enemy is coming out from a spiritual standpoint, the dark side is being more and more open and more clear what it is that they're doing. And we can see it. And we can see the demonic oppression, the demonic possession, people dealing with a lot of issues with their children, with their family, with their bosses, and especially since the masking up and everything. He said, we got to train. He said, I train people. I don't have time to organize the adventure. We train them. I said, Coach, will you organize it? Jumped in with both feet. So we're going to have an expelling the darkness, Eric, maybe you can pull, I don't know what I want you to pull up there, I guess, Eric. April 23 and 24 here in Ohio. Yeah, Eric, if you just go right there, that'd be good. Expelling the darkness training session where Russ said, listen, we're going to do 9 hours of extensive training. He's going to bring his team of about 15. He and Tom Dunn. And they're going to do the absolute training on say spiritual warfare and ritual abuse intensive training. 3 hours on Friday evening, the 23rd, and 6 hours on Saturday afternoon, 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and then personal ministry after that. One of the things that Russ told me about conferences, and I tend to agree with it, he says sometimes you go to conferences and they're good and we like it and everybody's there and all that, but the truth of the matter is, man, you kind of get off track. You know, you get a chance to speak for an hour and then that's kind of it. He said, I don't want that. I want this to be an intensive spiritual warfare training because we need more workers out in the field. So when you leave here after this 9-hour intensive training, you're going to be trained and equipped to be able to go lay hands on people and deal with the demonic influences that we see that are all around us. Now, it's being held right here just outside of Columbus, Ohio. So anybody might be interested in flying in, you fly into Columbus, Ohio. But the tickets are a $100 donation, Doug. That's the way we're doing it. And you can just go right online and click on donate right here for the tickets and order the tickets. And you can come and be part of it. It'll be an intensive spiritual warfare training. You guys know Russ. You know, I tell everybody Tom Dunn is Russ Dizdar. We just don't know that.
Yep.
And so the two of them are going to come and they're going to bring about 15 of their ministry folks and they're going to train us how to be able to do it intensive, 23rd and 24th. Now, I also want to throw this in there real quick because it's just first 100 people who sign up, first 100, Russ is going to give them his free 400-page book called Expelling the Darkness. Free. First 100 people that sign up. And we've also thrown this in there. We're going to give a free 30-day video on demand. So if you registered $100, you're going to get the Russ's 400-page book and free video on demand that you can watch it for 30 days afterwards. We have on our website places for you to stay, transportation, all of that kind of stuff. And additional live streaming. We're going to do live streaming for an additional $30. So want to make people aware of it. You can go to our website. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. Go to the homepage. It's going to say Russ Dizdar Training. Click on that. It'll take you right to it. And so, again, it's in outside of Columbus, Ohio. Actually, Newark, Ohio is a location about 30 miles just a bit east of Columbus. And we would love for all of you, as many of you as you can, to come and join us. So the information's there, Expelling the Darkness. You get in the first 100 people, get a Russ's book is $25.
Yep.
We're going to throw that thing in there for free, and we're going to give you a free video on demand for 30 days afterwards. And if you just want to stream it, then it's $30 to be able to stream it. Hey, Doug, this is we hear all the time. Russ tells me he's never seen anything like it. The calls that he's getting from people with their children, with their neighbors, especially with the masking and all that stuff's going on, that the demonic side is really, really hard at work. And some of us have to get ourselves trained and prepared to fight back against these forces of darkness.
Coach,
sorry to take such a rant there, brother.
I love it. Folks, I can tell you this, having shadowed, worked with and worked alongside Russ and his team, I could tell you what. He could tell you some stories that would just curl your hair. Some stuff right. that I've seen that, I just tell Russ, I don't know how you do it. I don't know.
Doug, he's a big teddy bear, isn't he? You know, Russ, he's a big teddy bear and he wants to help everybody that calls him. And he's just he said from his radio show, which is on, it's international now. He just gets emails and calls all the time and he's overwhelmed and he can't do it. And he said, we need some other workers out in the field.
Well, you know, the spiritual aspect of this is not really addressed by many other platforms. All right. I'm not going to say any, but by many other platforms, they don't want to talk about the spiritual darkness that we see, but everything that we're seeing is propelled by this very spiritual darkness that you speak of, that Russ, the fights against, that you fight against. So this is like a match made in heaven. Coach yes. Dave Dommeyer and Russ Dizdar and his team. Oh, Can you get any better than that?
Doug, not only that, Russ explained this to me, and I thought it was very, very, and Tom Dunn as well. Says usually when they go to these conferences, a lot of people come to the conferences, they come for ministry opportunities. They want to be prayed over, right? They have spiritual issues they want dealt with. And Russ said he doesn't want to get bogged down in that. Not that he doesn't want to help people, but he wants to do the intensive training, 3 hours on Friday night, 3 hours on Saturday morning, 3 hours on Saturday afternoon, and then do some personal ministry time afterwards. He says a lot of times, you've seen him at those conferences.
Oh, yeah.
He'll speak for an hour and a half, and then he stands in line for 5 hours helping people. So he's going to have his whole team are going to be there, and it's going to be something we really, really, really need, Doug.
April 23 and 24. That's Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
And that's just outside of Columbus, Newark, Ohio, which I look, I've been to that venue and it's a really easy to get to. I'll just say this.
Yep.
Columbus is easy. It's a travel hub. Newark is not that far.
No, it's right out. It's really, really easy. And we're out in the country, but it's really easy to get to. Yes. So
I feel good
again,
about
again, they get the book, they get the book and they get the free, video on demand for 30 days. So they can go home and watch it if they want to record it. I don't care what to. Russ is the most unbelievable guy. He said, Coach, I don't want to make any money. I said, well, it's not about making money, Russ. It's about funding the ministry. And it does take a lot. It takes a lot to pull one of these things off, which is why he called me. He said, we need to do these, but I don't have the time and effort and energy and staff to be able to do it. So, Coach, if you'll organize it, I'll bring my team and we'll do the training. So that's 23rd and 24th. And then another one, again, I thank you for letting us do this, Doug, because this piggybacks exactly into what you're just talking about. Our buddy Chad Estes, who's a former state highway patrolman, I guess they called him, state trooper, rangers, whatever they called him in Texas. Chad's been the head of our Texas Salt and Light Brigade. He's the one that made the video that y'all just watched. And Chad is going to put on an event as well. And we're calling that. Let me get my computer up. We're calling it. Chad, help me out here, man. Embattled Warrior Training. Now, listen, friends. And then you guys saw the video that, some of you goes listening by radio. Maybe you didn't get a chance to, but the video of what's going to happen to you if you are in you're in a parking lot. And all of a sudden you're surrounded. Doug, we're talking about after things break down here, right? Probably. Although maybe it wouldn't have to necessarily be that.
Could be next week. I mean, it could be the way things are going right now, Coach. I've been getting reports, especially from the cities. And I don't want to belabor the point, but, the law and order has been breaking down. The police have been standing down. The response time has, in many cases, has tripled. And this is all due to the defund the police, initiatives all across the country. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Doug, you're right. But what happens, and I just pulled Chad in here on my cell phone, so I'm going to let him talk a little bit about it. What happens, Doug, if your wife is in the parking lot and all of somebody pulls up and blocks him in? Does she know what to do? What happens to you if you find yourself in a shopping center or something like that and all of a sudden crap breaks out all around? What do you do? Chad, you're on the air right now off of my cell phone, brother. Just tell everybody exactly what they're going to be able to experience if they come. It's in Moody, Texas, by the way. I didn't say that. That also can be found at CoachDaveLive.com. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, we want to offer you a real live scenario. Of course, we have round robin of survival skills, making fires and knots and sutures. With all the guns that people are buying, you think anybody's going to get shot possibly? So these are the things we want to try to anticipate what way you happen. You know, a wise man sees trouble and moves out of the way, right? So we need to be ready. We need to see what's coming. Things are not getting any better in the world. They're not. And so we must take our own action here. The book of Acts, not the book of Sits.
Amen.
So we must get out here and move and get things done and see things and project out what's going to happen. And so this is what it is. So with the violence, we saw all of that last year, dragging people that leaving the grocery store or whatever, and they just make a wrong turn, and they're right in the middle of this BLM or Antifa rally, and these people just flock to this like they're giving away money there. And then, of course, then become this mob mentality. They become hostile. They begin using their skateboards at this so-called peaceful rally, shattering the windshield, dragging people out, beating them nearly to death in Tacoma and in some places to death, and just for nothing. What? Because they made a wrong turn. And what we want to do is we want to put you in that situation in a controlled environment with simunition, ammunition, with whatever we can, and try to make things as realistic as possible for it. Coach you through it initially, talk you about it, talk you through it, and then put you in a scenario with aggressors and everything in the daytime, and then again at nighttime.
So you're going to do some
training.
Yeah, you'll do some nighttime training as well, right, Chad?
Absolutely, because look, that's when these people, these freaks or whatever, they come out in the darkness. They hide and lurk in the shadows because they believe they can get away. Now, they're getting bold as well, and they're doing stuff in the daytime, so that's why we're also doing the daytime and nighttime. So if you have a home invasion problem or anything, or a situation like that, that's also something that we're going to be handling as well. Doing, again, a daytime scenario and, again, a nighttime scenario. How to work with the flashlight. How to work, with headlights on your car. Something like, you know, all these things.
Chad, when I was out there, when you did one of those last, before they shut us all down, Chad, you did what I thought was really, really important. You did a house clearing training. In other words, folks, you come home and somebody's been in your house, and you don't know if they're in your house. So what do? You just walk in the front door and turn on the lights. Hello, anybody here? You don't do that. And Chad took us through a training on how you, when you come into a situation like that, you know how to clear your room, how to stay safe when you do that. That kind of stuff's going to be offered as well, right, Chad?
Well, that's right. And mainly what it was, Dave, is not so much as if I come home and then I go to clear my house, because right now, even right now, though, the police will still respond to us. Currently, they still will. So, but if we're at home in bed at night, and we hear that bump in the night, and we have people that come into the house with whoever knows what their intentions are, then we need to make sure that ours and our property is safe and secure. So, we want to show you how to do that. And an effective manner.
So, Chad, in other words, if I hear a bump in the night in my living room, I don't jump out of bed, turn on all the lights in the house, and just go walking out there, right? There's a way that you ought to do that if you feel that somebody has penetrated into your home. And, folks, this is all this strategic training that, you know, we pray that you will never, ever have to use. But, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Coach, can I interject something here? I just want to remind people. Last year, it was like 3 a.m, 4 a.m. It was the dead of night. I was sound asleep in bed with my wife and my dog. And,
still there.
Hi, Chad, by the way. Anyway, my security system went off. Okay. My alarm went off. And Chad, hang on just 1 second, bud.
Okay. Chad, they're listening. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, all right. So here's what happened here. So I grabbed my weapon of choice and I opened the bedroom door, but this is the worst feeling in the world to have. I had no idea where the breach was. I had no idea which way to go in my house. I had no idea what of anything. The phone is ringing. The alarm company is going to call on me. I had no idea if someone was in my house. I had no idea of anything. So the most valuable training, folks, this, listen to me, this could happen to you. And by the way, just to let you know, it was a decoration over a door that fell. You could not do it again in a million years. The way it fell, it hit the sensor. At any rate, there was no breach to my house. Okay. Amen. But the fact is I felt absolutely, helpless. I was armed, but I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
So folks, so listen,
Doug,
to me. Doug,
that's when you send your wife to the door.
Well, yeah, believe it or not, she came out and we have a pretty significant sized house. So she came out and where the alarm was going off, she said, oh, here it is. But I met her at the door, you know, I had my gun trained, flashlight and gun trained, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, so
you
please.
You don't want to shoot
folks.
Her.
No.
Yeah, you don't want to shoot her.
No, so please, that's what you get, by the way, for, not putting up a decoration the way you're supposed to put it up.
Amen.
But anyway, so folks, this is important, especially if you live in Minneapolis and other areas. My goodness, this
could happen. So Chad, Doug just relayed his own experience with it. So, how do they sign up? Doug, the same place they sign up for this, for the Russ Dizdar training, they go to CoachDaveLive.com. You can sign up at both places, okay? The Embattled Warrior Special Ops Training. Chad, how many people do you have space for, Chad?
Well, we're hoping to get, 75 people or so, somewhere around in there, and we have a little thing on there for couples. It's $200 for couples. And then singles is $135. Okay. So it pays to be married. Okay. All right. So, also that if you use the promo code, I want to announce this too. Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Use that promo code on there when you check out for 10% off of the rates. Now, one further thing I want to say, Doc, thank you for having me on there, giving me the opportunity here, is that we're not, this is not a fly-by-night operation. We're not just, I'm just Chad the cop or whatever that did it. Okay, I'm in the instructor. The guys I have are instructors. We're military trained. We're police trained. And this is what we did this a lot. We still continue to do this. So this is not just like, we're just not winging it. We're not YouTube warriors or anything like that. We actually are doing the stuff. And so I just want you to know that you're going to get.
It's going to be good stuff.
Live training. And it's going to be safe too.
Yep, Doug, Chad, we wouldn't have you on the Hagman Report if you're some fly by night guys. Hey, thanks, Chad, man. God bless you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, bud. So Doug, there it is. And again, Doug, thanks for letting me come in and promote these things. But listen, people really, really do need them. I've been to a couple of the trainings that Chad's done with our Salt and Light Brigade. We've done this, and they're really good. Now, you're responsible for your own housing. It's Moody, Texas. That stuff's all on our website. Okay. So just go to CoachDaveLive.com, hit the events, go to the events, and you'll be able to see where you can register for Chad's the Embattled Warrior Training. Special ops training, and then go to Russ Dizdar's Expelling the Darkness. Hey, you know, these are two different groups of people that we're reaching out to here, you know, Doug. So, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here and share what we're doing.
Oh, man. Coach, I can't tell you how much both of these are needed. We're all about solutions. You're all about actions and solutions. Russ Dizdar, you cannot ask for a better spiritual warrior. And Chad, you can't ask for a better real life on the ground warrior who also has that spiritual propulsion to him. So, and Coach, putting together both of these, that's a lot of work. Go ahead.
And one other thing, I'll say this real quickly. Again, the $100 for Dizdar, if you get in one of the first 100 people, when you get the free book and you get the free video, but also I got about 30 beds, Doug, in a barracks type place where people, we're going to make that available for people for $25 a night. So if somebody's worried about coming up with the money to stay in a hotel or whatever, if you email me, you can go to my website, coach@coachdavelive.com, and say, hey, I'm interested in one of those bunks. Now realize it's not double bunks, but it's bunk beds across the floor. Okay. So it's not going to be private. But you can stay for two nights for $50. That's a pretty good deal.
And that's for Ohio or for Texas?
That's for Ohio. I'm sorry. Thanks, man. I didn't make that clear. Yep,
all right.
That's for Ohio.
Coach, and thanks, Chad, tell Chad thank you for the promo code for our listening audience and viewing audience. I appreciate that. And thank you, Coach, for all you do. Thank you.
Hey, stand and fight now, brother. That's what we got to do, huh?
That's right. CoachDaveLive.com. That's that place to go. Coach is all about solutions. And join the huddle, 7 o'clock every morning. Join the huddle at CoachDaveLive.com. Folks, we're up against the top of the hour break. Going to be right back. You're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is the Hagman Report, hour number two of today's broadcast, the 16th day of March, 2021. The Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, day number 56 of the communist takeover. America held hostage by the global elite satanic overlord wannabe scumbaggery. That's right. You got military tanks and truck, or military personnel, I should say, and trucks and armaments in the nation's capital. Yet the southern border is wide open. Hey. That's okay, right? That's a thing now. Lawlessness across the land. But there's other things going on too. And if it's Tuesday, guess what? If it's Tuesdays, we have Tuesdays with Stan. Stan Deo from standeo.com. That's standeo, D-E-Y-O.com. The link will be in the program description box only at HagmanReport.com. That's right. You get to go to my website to open up the links and you can follow along. If you're listening to this, access the show images page, or I'm sorry, if you're listening to this by way of archive, do me a favor. Watch it on Rumble and subscribe while you're there, and also engage in conversation. But also go to standeo.com. Make sure you bookmark that website. Holly Deo is such, I mean, she's up like, I don't know, 24/7. She's up with when no one else is, posting headlines, pictures of the day, cartoons of the day. I mean, you name it, it's there. Okay. Videos of the day. I go there all the time. That's standeo.com. I love that website. It gets so much information. Plus, if you, for extra credit, folks, extra credit now, become a Patreon member of standeo.com. The meetings are fabulous that Stan has. And he and his wife work so hard into their endeavors. It's always fun to be part of their Patreon meetings and such. So, support a good cause. Go ahead and sign up for their Patreon at standeo.com. Follow the links from there. And one last thing. EMP Shield. Did you know? Oh, I thought of Stan about this. Did you know that one of the military bases in Texas is hardening. Now, yeah, look, okay, I don't know. They're hardening for an EMP. And you think, wow, well, what took you so long? Well, at least they're doing something about it. And this goes back to, actually goes back to President Trump's administration and his executive orders. So I immediately thought, well, I hope they're using EMP Shield, EMPShield.com. And I gotta tell you, promo code Hagman for $50 off. Up to three. And then after three, you'll get an extra 10% off with the codes. Just go to empshield.com. Go to EMP plus the other $50 off too. So, I mean, this is a great deal. I can't believe, I don't know how Stan makes any money. So, EMP Shield, it's the only way to protect your equipment in the event of an EMP type of an event. And you might say, well, why would I want to protect my equipment if everything else is out? Because when it comes back up, your equipment's going to be fine. Your neighbors, not so much, if they're leftist lunatics. All right. So with that, Stan, it's all yours.
Hey, thank you for that.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, earlier today, you were talking about Holly doing all the news and stuff for odd hours and whatever. Over breakfast, she said, you know, I got something on the Australian Navy about COVID. And I said, oh, okay. I didn't put it up on our show images page, but I thought I'd bring it up now because, it's on our, show images page. Let me just see where she put it. Well, somewhere there, in, Earth Changes or, War Game Simulations. I'm looking at a copy of it here on the website. It's Australian Navy caught massive coronavirus vaccine side effects, and it's a cover-up. Now, I found this particularly interesting because they got their coronavirus jabs, you know, their immune shot, and then they started falling over. And I'm thinking, is this part of, you know, another problem from the Chinese or from whoever's supplying the antidote or the, you know, the vaccine for coronavirus, is that it will bring, you know, naval personnel or military personnel of any kind down, you know, in a time when we need them. But, you know, they just started dropping like flies on the ship. And I thought this is kind of another thing, another reason I would say to people, I'm not sure I'm going to take that vaccine because it's not trustworthy. somebody's got to be left here to defend the fort. And anyway, that was kind of a thing that stuck with me today. It never stops. China keeps jabbing us this way and that way, literally speaking, of course, but,
I would urge everyone to look at the videos of Dr. Vernon Coleman. I think it's a 27 minute video. The first 6 minutes, I think he gives his bona fides, and then the rest of the video is about it's not really a vaccine. It is obviously we're not really, we call it a vaccine, but it's really, gene therapy. It's experimental gene therapy nonetheless. You'll start looking at the bigger picture here, Stan. I'm wondering if we're not going to see something really bad happen as we approach autumn, winter, with the people who have taken the vaccine. And if I'm reading these doctors correctly, and there's another hour video of a former member of guy that used to work for Gates and Gavi that said, hey, this vaccine, non-vaccine, as well as the Chinese Communist Party virus, is a bioweapon. I mean, both are bioweapons. And when things happen in the autumn and fall, new strains and such, and the vaccinated, if you want to use that term, get the new strain or get the strain, there's going to be one hell of a cytokine storm in one's body. So, yes, in addition to every person that falls over after getting the jab. So what's going on? Stan, I don't know, man. I tell you what, I'm staying far away from the jab. I don't know about you, but I am.
Oh, yeah, me too. And, think about it. When you talk about the RNA, the genetic modification type treatment, that tells you, oh, wait a minute, they can modify the genes of your body with a shot now. So, that means that they can put things into your genetic modification that, make you more prone to receiving, to be susceptible to viruses and things, or to change your eye color, or, when you start messing with a person's genetic structure with just a shot, you're not having to wait for them to, cook it in the womb. This is stuff that happens right then over the next few weeks. And this is another type of warfare, and it's dabbling in an area that I don't think we know enough about, the scientific community, to actually do it, at all. God created us. He put little machines in our bodies that actually reproduce different types of cells. When the old ones wear out, they make a new one. And so we're messing with that kind of, function in our body when we do DNA or RNA modification. I don't like this idea at all. And on the side of the warfare with the Chinese or Russians or whoever, or the United States, whoever wants to wipe out a certain segment of the population, whether they call it a Jewish gene, a white American gene, a black gene, a Chinese gene, a Russian green gene, they can target whole populations of the planet with a device, a biological device, a virus of types, to kill them or to make them so ill they die and they can't function. This type of warfare is definitely not supposed to be in humans' hands at this point anyway. We got to get out of this place. When's the Lord coming for us? I'm ready.
Yeah, me too, brother. I am ready too, but I don't know. All I know is what we're being told, 99%, if not 100%, are lies, in my view. And isn't it telling, though? The media puts a lid on stories. The social media tells you what's factual in their eyes and what isn't. Zuckerberg is considered a king of billions of people, self-identified as such, and with the sole discretion to say, this is fake news about this, what's really going on that you posted. It's fake news that this is really not a vaccine. It's fake news. And I'm so sick and tired of this, and I know a lot of our listeners and viewers are as well. So, Stan, you're 100% right. I'm ready, too. I'm ready.
You know, I was reading something, Bible verse over the weekend, and Revelation 2, I think it is, about the synagogue of Satan. And I thought, well, synagogue, that's Jewish. Synagogues didn't exist until after Jesus died. Okay, who are the synagogue of Satan? Now, I know that during World War II, what Hitler and his, anti-Jewish mob were doing was they were targeting the Jews, of course, being responsible for all their economic problems and various other things that, led to their downfall as far as poverty and stuff, which created World War II, ostensibly. And so I started looking up the Jewish population, and we've got Ashkenazi Jews and we've got Sephardi Jews. Now, the Ashkenazi Jews are primarily in Europe. So, on slide 52, I found an article in Current News here that said, surprise, surprise, the Ashkenazi Jews are genetically European. And not only the article that I linked this to, but other articles I read while I was researching this, comes up that there was a seed group of 300 people in Europe, primarily in Germany, that were the seed for the Ashkenazi Jewish bloodline. And hence, their pronunciation of Hebrew is very guttural, like German, Hochdeutsch, and that kind of sharp sounds, as opposed to what we see in slide 42. Is it 42? No, 53. Sorry, 53. Sephardi Jews. Now, Sephardi Jews were primarily from, Israel and in the Middle East. They migrated up into Spain, but they also migrated into Portugal. They were down in North Africa as well. And surprisingly, if you look at the picture of slide 53, if you look at the picture, you see the distribution of these Sephardi or Spanish-type Jews. You see that one of the heaviest concentrations is in northern England, or, in Ireland and Scotland. The legend of the Scottish is that they're tight with a penny. And I can believe that there's a heavy population of the Jewish people there because they are very wise in handling their money. My Jewish friends used to tell me in Australia that, hey, Stanley, I've got deep pockets and short arms, which means I can put it in, but it's hard for me to get it out for you, the dollars. Anyway, I'm looking at this. And I realize in the further reading that the preferred pronunciation of Hebrew is the Sephardi one, which is heavily influenced nowadays by the Spanish or, Romance language type softness of it, which I prefer. And as legend would have it, they say that in the time of the temple, when the last temple, in that time in Israel, that the temple pronunciation was what became the Sephardic one. So there's a blend of whatever Hebrew was pronounced like in those days in Israel mixed with the Spanish bloodline, that softened it a bit. So anyway, go on.
So Ashkenazi and then Sephardic Jews, two different genetic bloodlines essentially, right?
Yeah.
That would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what Jew occupied the biblical Holy Land as we know it, what the Bible says?
Well, both of them may have. I mean, if you look at the Bible, the synagogue of Satan was for those Jews that opposed Christianity. They attacked Christianity in those days. But, that 300 seed population in Germany, in Europe there, that became Ashkenazi is so inbred that they have a lot of diseases that have come out of their close genetic ties. Whereas the ones from, North Africa, Middle East, Turkey, wherever they were, you can see it, that map there that I was just looking at in the top map. Those are a stronger genetic bloodline. There is a trace of the Hebrew RNA in the Ashkenazi. So I don't think that, like Hitler said, I don't think that you can say, the Ashkenazi Jew is an imposter, is bad. They came from the Caucasus Mountains and they were really part of some tribe there that, the Khazars that adopted Judaism. I don't know whether that's true or not, but basically looking at the RNA map, the Jewish population is mainly Sephardic as far as the true RNA line. When I studied Hebrew, I studied the Sephardi pronunciations of it because I felt that that was closer to the Middle East, you know, having come through Spain and, you know, through Turkey up into Spain and Greece. So, you know, with it being what was spoken in Greece, you know, as far as Hebrew language, I also thought, right, this is where the New Testament was written. So that's why I chose Sephardi as my preferred, you know, pronunciation of Hebrew. But whether they're Ashkenazi or whether they're Sephardi, they are practicing Judaism and worshiping God in that way. So I don't think that any country, any group has the right to persecute them as the synagogue of Satan, because that time basically has passed. I think it was during Jesus' time when they were persecuting the Christians at that time, whereas I don't know of any, you know, Jewish congregations, Ashkenazi or Sephardi, that are persecuting Christians. You know, I just don't see it. But anyway, this is something I thought was important considering what, you know, happened in World War II, concentration camps and stuff, for people getting excited about this Khazar type versus the Sephardi type. To the Nazis, it didn't matter if you were Sephardi or Ashkenazi, though. They just took everybody that was Jewish. Wow. And some that weren't.
Interesting distinction. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the maps and the side-by-side comparison. Yeah, interesting indeed.
I wanted to address that, Doug, because we're facing persecution of the Jews today. Yep. And of the Christians today. I mean, the real, you know, evangelical Christian churches. Yep. And groups. And the Judaism of whether they're Sephardi or Ashkenazi. So these things are going to come up more and more in the news. And this is why it's important now to lay down this news, this information for people to say, look, if you hear any anti-Semitism going on, understand that this is leftovers from World War II and from people that don't really understand, you know, what the genetic bloodline is and what they do. I'm just trying to head off some of the persecution that is headed our way.
I appreciate that. And I'm seeing more and more anti-Semitic comments, especially as I peruse message boards, really pretty much on the leftist message boards, blaming the Jews, specifically blaming the Jews for everything that's going on today and lumping them into just this cauldron, much like, you know, Nazi Germany. All I can say is stop it. Stop it.
You know, look, Holly and I have talked about this a number of times. Look at the number of Nobel Peace Prizes that have gone to Jewish scientists for developing things that the world needs to help the world. Look at the number of financial institutions and financial, you know, operations, say, in England that have been headed up by Jewish people. They are a very bright race, you know, in the whole. And that's because their bloodline has been protected from outside interference, you know, breeding with other, you know, lesser type individuals, like for mental abilities or whatever. They've not been exposed to that in their bloodline. So they are very pure bloodline in the main. And so I see that as a plus, because that gives us access to this race of people God favors, even though they've, you know, kind of rejected him for a while, but he's going to bring them back to Israel and forgive them when they repent and recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But even now, before that happens, I have great respect for the Jewish mind in solving problems, whether they be political, theological, medicinal, you know, scientific, mathematics. And the only race that I see comparable to them in brain power as a race are the Indians in Europe, or in Asia. The Indian mathematicians are an absolute wonder to me. And there were Jewish people that mixed into their population. You can see it in that map we had a while ago. Let me just click on that map and see. Right. Well, maybe they didn't go all the way to India. I can see that they stopped at Iran, but I would think there'd be some crossbreeding there. Anyway, I know this is probably going to be not kosher discussion in light of what happened to Chris Harrison on the Bachelorette or Bachelor program. You know, I'll be hit by woke or something or other. But yeah. These are things that need to be addressed openly and rationally, and not, you know, emotionally. You know, it's just.
Yeah, can we have a sensible dialogue about this? I think we can. And I think that we need to have a sensible, you know, my goodness, if we're talking about, well, you know what, I'm going to leave it there because I think you did a wonderful job in characterizing the different bloodlines, as I say, or different, origins. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's have a, you know, Stan, what do they mean? And I'm going to ask you this. I don't want to put you on a spot, but when I see somebody write, well, it's, you know, the Zionists, they control the banking system. The Zionists control this. The Zionists are the, you know, who comprises the Zionists?
You know, that's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, it's Jewish folk, and probably some non-Jewish folk that want to rebuild Israel, Mount Zion, and, you know, they want to restore it to a God-fearing nation and following his laws. And that's from a Jewish perspective, not from a Christian perspective. They become Zionists because they want to reestablish Israel as their home country. And there have been people that have converted to Judaism. There are Messianic believers who are Jewish Christians, but all of these things lead toward a development of Israel and a reestablishment of it as a world power. And that's such a tiny little place. But anyway, those that say, let's get rid of the Zionist Jews and bankers and whatever, that means they're trying to persecute the very intelligent, very clever financial people, you know, who run banks and stuff because they kind of set them up. I mean, the Templars set up a lot of it after going over the Middle East and coming back into Europe, and then the Catholic Church got rid of them. But bankers were very important and are very important into how the world runs. You know, the whole world runs on energy, but it runs on currency as well. So when they are clever at that and make money at it, you can be jealous if you want to, but it's not a plot per se. It's just good business sense.
Just to be clear, just so I'm clear on this, because I've got many, many Jewish friends. I love them. They're terrific people. The term Zionist or Zionism or whatever would, the way you just described it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is really an umbrella term for kind of a Jewish nationalist, if you will.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And it could be that could encompass non-Jews as well, but
yeah,
nonetheless, want to see the nation state of Israel reestablished and maintained and stuff.
Okay. Now, having said what I did about Zionists and Zionists, that does not say that it doesn't say that I don't believe in a conspiracy for world order. That's definitely afoot, has been for several generations. So there is a consortium of individuals who want to control the world. And, in World War II, it was focused on the Jewish and Masonic people being the originators of this conspiracy. In the kind of spurious document written by a Russian general called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zionism. And you see how they were tarred and feathered with this, yeah. And it caused the extinction of a lot of people over there, and even now today. So, yeah, okay. I still think we have a conspiracy that's been handling the planet, and they have shifted the blame on themselves to the Jewish people.
All right. And that's an important footnote, I think, to those people out there saying, oh, well, you're just running cover for this evil cabal of Kabbalistic worshipers or whatever. I get it. I understand it, but that evil cabal is comprised of more than just Jewish people or people of Jewish descent or genetically Jewish or whatever. It involves a lot. Got it. Okay.
Well, in this time, in this age here where we're approaching the Great Tribulation, real Christians and Jews are both being persecuted, and they're going to be persecuted unmercifully once we're into the tribulation period. And that is for Christians and Messianic Christians who have not been raptured whenever that occurs. I believe personally it's going to occur fairly soon, but still. Those that are believers but not yet understanding, you know, that Jesus is the Messiah in the Jewish world, and those that are of the 144,000 Jews that will evangelize the world during the tribulation, those are going to be persecuted heavily. But fortunately, the bride, the Christian church, the bride, will be taken to safety with the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua.
I can't wait for that. You know, and many people, folks, look, you know, we can have a rational discussion because I know I'll get emails saying, well, you pre-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, pre-wrath, post or whatever, mid-trib. I don't care. I don't care. Okay. I didn't get the memo as to when it is. All right. So, you know what? You occupy until the time. And that's what we're doing. So thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, yes. We can't stand to have division amongst us at this point in time.
You know what? As long as we agree on one thing, and that's, you know, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, I think that we can work the rest of the stuff out, can't we?
And he's coming for us. He's not going to leave us hanging.
All right.
At some point in time.
At some point. That's right. Yeah. So the Bible said, you know what? The Bible said it. I believe it. That's it. Period. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. An interesting thing developing over in the political sense over in the Middle East in slide 55, the kind of heir apparent to the throne in Jordan went over to worship on the Temple Mount. And just as he got into town there with his entourage security people, the Israeli government said, oh, sorry, you got to go back. We're not going to let you in. There was something wrong with their security people, whether they were spying or what, I don't know. It hadn't been explained. But the Jordanian Crown Prince, Hussein bin Abdullah, was offended by this, obviously. He's traveled over to Israel to get onto the Temple Mount, and his family do have the right to maintain the Temple Mount at the moment anyway. That may be passing over to Israel soon because of the pressure from Saudi Arabia. But anyway, they irritated this young fella. And so now then there's animus between Jordan and Israel. And this is not a good thing because of all the Arab nations, Jordan sits right there, well positioned to hit Jerusalem in many places with missiles, with aircraft and everything should they attack Israel. So this is another development in that craziness over the Middle East. It's thrown into the mix, which is quite a busy mix, I got to say.
Did you see, I mean, I hate it when people drop over unannounced, but okay. The joke didn't land. Okay. do you see any correlation between the left government of the United States, the Biden regime, in troubles in the Middle East versus Donald Trump, his 4 years, and the ostensible lack of trouble in the Middle East? In other words, it seemed like things were kind of going more smoothly, if that's an accurate phrase. Am I mistaken on that?
Sorry, yeah. Well, look, President Trump did do a good thing. He used Jared Kushner to set up the Middle East peace deal between many of the Arab nations, and it was heading for a completion and a signing of a document of peace between Israel and many Arab nations. But then, of course, the election took care of that. That stopped it immediately, or so you would think. In slide 54, I've got here an article. Kushner resurfaces with an op-ed in the Middle East, and it says here he touts the Abraham Accords, which he did with Trump, and calls on President Joe Biden to build on the progress in the Middle East, mostly praising his father-in-law, Trump's policy, but also offering some encouragement to Biden. So the architect of the Middle East peace over there, and I have to call him that, Kushner, is still in play, working with the Biden administration. And with the Biden administration being so war-prone, well, the Democrats, when they're also war-prone, this may see Saudi Arabia help us take out Iran, because the Iranian brand of Islam is not, it's in antipathy to what the rest of the Middle East Islamic nations practice, you know, Sunni. I think that Biden will be heavily influenced by Jared Kushner. And Jared Kushner, I've already put on my potentials for either a false prophet or an antichrist of this age in slide 13 on my show images page there. Or sorry, slide 13, is that the way to say it? I think slide 13. Someone has to get that peace treaty together. And so Donald Trump and Jared Kushner mainly structured it and started it and got the ball rolling. Now, Biden may help Kushner do this. And because let's face it, Biden is not the real policymaker in the game at the moment. And Kushner is offering to continue his work there. So there's going to be that 7-year peace treaty made at the beginning of the tribulation period. So the impetus is still there. And so this year we may see that treaty be signed yet.
Mm. Wow. That's something to think about. And folks, go to standeo.com if you're listening to this, and go back to the video and on Stan's website, you'll see show images. Click on that and that'll take you to what we're talking about here. Very interesting thought about that. Very, you know, that whole thing bothers me ever since you first brought it up a few years ago. That bothers me. I mean, okay. I don't know.
Well, you know, speaking of Antichrist over in that area, potentials, one of them is the interior minister for Turkey, Süleyman Soylu. Again, one of those Solomon type names that I think Revelation 13 is pointing us toward. You can see that in the second column of slide 13 for potential guys. And while we're talking about Turkey, the IDF is preparing for a war with Turkey, it looks like. They're holding naval drills with Greece and Cyprus, which indicates that they're getting ready to use them as launching places against Turkey should Turkey become very hostile. With Erdogan in charge at the moment, that's a distinct possibility. However, there, as I've been saying on several of the shows here with you, there is a very strong element in Turkey that is saying, look, let us let the Israelis build the third temple on the Temple Mount. And with this pressure by Saudi Arabia to take Jordan out of the picture as far as maintaining and supporting the Temple Mount, let it go back to Israel. This becomes a very distinct possibility in the next few months, is it, that Turkey will change its spots and say, okay, let's let you build the third temple. But to do that, I think they're going to have a leadership change and put Soylu and his party in charge instead of Erdogan. Anyway, keep watching the Middle East. These things are pointing to a rather interesting development there.
Wow.
Okay. Indeed. And you know, although I don't have it on our show images page this time, we've been talking about the analyses that the U.S. military has been doing of a potential war with China over Taiwan. And all the analyses they run, at least publicly, say we would lose. The United States would lose if we got into a war with China over Taiwan. And I think that's military loss rather than economic loss. Certainly they would be that for both sides. But Russia is, we know, allied as Iran is with China on wanting to rearrange the Middle East and in particular take down Israel. Slide 49, it's talking about the new Bure-class submarines that Russia has developed. And the interesting point about it is that these R-30 Bulava or MACE missiles are carried on these new Bure-class submarines. And these missiles are 150 kiloton, okay? That's more than certainly what hit Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They're 10 times stronger. And they can hit from the sea, from underwater, a target 5,800 miles away. Each submarine carries 16 of these 150 kiloton nuclear warheads. Now, the development of the Chinese Navy is way ahead of the United States Navy. Again, these are the leftovers of, you know, kind of strange democratic governments we've had over the last 30 years, where we've weakened our military to a point that even in Trump's administration, we couldn't rebuild everything quick enough to stay par with China. We are in an extremely vulnerable position, military-wise and economically. I suspect we're going to see the beginning of a war between, it won't be a long one, by the way, between China, Russia, Iran, and the United States. They may send troops over and try to occupy on the ground, but I think the initial attacks, which will kill our infrastructure and our electronics with EMPs, will be an aggressive war of about, oh, I don't know, 10 minutes, because they're going to so weaken us in the first hit that we won't be able to get our act together, and we will have lost. It's just, you know, all but the counting. They've got to come in and count the coup on us. So it becomes extremely important, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, get your EMP shields, get your alternate energy if you can afford to do that, and stock up on provisions, like, you know, provisions that you need, like medicine, food, water, and that kind of stuff, and ammunition. That's another thing they're taking away from us here in our government. Anyway.
They can go for press site for free information.
Okay, yeah. Holly just told me that there's a lot of free prep information on our website. You can go to standale.com, and up in the upper left, you can click on our Dare to Prepare site, which has all this free info and links to companies and stuff that supply, you know, foods. And it's just, you know, you don't have to buy anything. It's just a free advice system. A lot of people are using it.
I love it. Yeah, I've got that site bookmarked as well, Dare to Prepare. And folks, you know what, for extra credit, and I'm serious, for your own protection, I would definitely buy the latest version of Dare to Prepare, because that is the ultimate encyclopedia of preparations. Anything you want to know about preparations, it's in that book. And I don't get paid for saying this. I'm telling you. But I use that book. It's always within arm's reach when I'm in my office, because there's sometimes I need to know stuff. And that's the ultimate compendium of information about preparations. So thank you, Holly, for doing that. And the website, like you said, hey, if you say, well, I'm not going to spend one more dime on book, well, go to the website, because they give away a lot of great information. So thank you for that.
Yeah, we have copies of it sitting on our desk, but usually, because she's the author and knows all this stuff, when I've got a prep question, I'll say, hey, Holly, what's the answer? You know. But, we do have these books on our desk.
I'll just say that you offer more information than most sites. I mean, most sites are like an inch deep and a mile wide. Yours is just the opposite. I love it. And I had a question about about canning. And, yeah, me, canning. Dare to Prepare. I'm telling you, it's there. It's in the
book. I used it to can peaches from our trees here a few years back.
It's amazing what I didn't know. I mean, I it's amazing what I didn't know that could kill me. So.
Yes, true. Botulism. Yeah. You know, it's time to find out these things and try them now before you can't, or you can't get the advice. You know, get that book in so you got it hard copy, not depending on the internet working.
Amen to that. But yeah, you know, I with respect to China, Russia, China, Joe Biden. I mean, how did this happen where we have, Chinese money, with the Communist Chinese Party money going through Hunter as the bag man? And, you know, people look, oh, I thought it was Ukraine. Yeah, it's that too. And then you go back through, like you mentioned earlier, about the secrets and technology being transferred or stolen by China, transferred to China, especially under, who was the,
Clinton.
BJ? Yeah. Blue dress, Clinton, you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't have a, brain issue there. I was trying to stretch it out to make a joke, but it didn't work. Okay. All right.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Right. Okay. Yeah. Hollywood can't say that.
Oh, you know, we probably could, but I might get smacked around a little bit if we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, talking about China and all these things, I mean, this didn't happen overnight with Biden and his family and with all the other politicians that are being shadowed by agents of China and Russia. This is a long term, you know, a chess move, several chess moves from, well, 40, 50 years ago that are now intensifying. You know, they put all their pieces in place, looked at the strategies that we might use to defeat them. And countered those. They've been planning this a long time. Well, we've been basically trying to get along with people and helping people in the world of food supplies and, you know, military, you know, defense of the weaker countries and stuff like that. And in the meantime, China and Russia have been sitting out there developing all this stuff to take us down in one huge sudden attack. But it's been in the making for a long time. Well, and now, as I said, sorry, go on.
No, folks, what he said. But when you look at Swalwell, who is fang, fang, bang, bang, fang, fang, okay? I mean, and he's put back on the House Intelligence Committee. He's getting the biggest secrets ever, you know, and had been, and passing them off to his, you know, BFF, fang, fang, which goes to the Chinese Communist Party, Communist Chinese Party. Feinstein, her driver, for crying out loud. How many years? And we don't question any of this.
And we put him back in there.
We put him back in. Or Pelosi puts him back in. What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with these people? And this is not incompetence. This is a coup from within, I believe. That's just my view. I'm fired up today.
It's a coup from within, but sponsored from without.
Yes.
China's the architect of this. This has all been done by China and in some degree by Russia with their facilities joining with the Chinese. But it is a coup. It is a war thing. You know, they haven't fired a shot, but it's a coup coming in to take over the United States. It's not going to end well for the United States or for the Chinese and Russian troops that come in here. But this is the game. It's not something that people here have allowed to happen so much as the clever Chinese have fostered, you know, put upon them by blackmail and by bribery until they had control of all of our Congress and, you know, even our president and vice president with these things. And so you've got to look at it as an act of war, a shotless war at this point. But it's going to develop into shooting, I'm sure, because they're going to have to eventually come in here and claim the territory they bombed to pieces and pick out anything they haven't stolen yet and take it back with them. Helping this stuff here and helping the Chinese and Russians to overthrow us, you know, on our power grid, how to hit that at the right time, the right amount, you know, to take it down and, hit our financial structure, you know, our overseas contracts and things like that. To do this, they've enlisted an artificial intelligence, a computer network that is artificially smart. It's made to be a superhuman mind with several programmers programming its value decisions, of course. But this is so fast, so tested already, that it's already anticipating all the moves that we would make in the United States militarily, financially, politically, everything. Our politicians even. It's already looking at all these as to how we might hit their attack on us and stop it or dent it or whatever. So this smart computer, you know, we have to have equally smart computer with equally amounts of the data they're using to stop them or even, reverse the attack. We don't have that yet. We're still developing our quantum computer networks and stuff. So we are definitely at risk. I mean, slide whatever it is on the show there today, slide 56, is an interview with Billy Crone on the artificial intelligence invasion, unmanned drones, military robots, exploding dragonflies. And it says, where is this taking us? To the mark of the beast? I'm sure that's going to be the eventual thing that controls our world economy and everybody having to have that number. But it's also going to bring us down, America down. And because we're kind of the major fly in the ointment as far as protecting Israel and protecting the rest of the world from the communist overthrow. When we go down, well, it's over then.
Yeah. And I remember Billy Crone interviewing him in person at a couple of conferences. I think one in Florida, one in Texas. And he was on the show a couple of times. And the last time he was on the show, it's probably been 4 or 5 years. Him talking about this, and it was, to me, it was so out there with respect to the artificial intelligence. I believed it. I believe what he's saying, but I could not envision it. But boy, I'll tell you something. You go back 4 or 5 years, listen to that interview, and everything that he spoke of is happening or has happened. And this AI, you know, it's not what people think it is. I mean, in my view, the
Terminator series of movies, Terminator had smart, you know, AI robots, and Skynet controlling all the computing of the world. It was fiction, but it was telling you what's happening. Look, in 1978, I was telling people about the use of networked IBM computers worldwide to form a method of cashless society, to form a method of fooling people with videos and stuff of people saying things that they weren't saying, and they weren't even there. And this was, 43 years ago? And if you think you had a response, you know, kind of, oh, yeah, to Crone, if you'd have seen me back then, you'd have had an even more response. You know, it was way out there. But I've been warning people. You know, it's coming. Yep.
You know, my mother, she died when I was very young. God bless her. She was in tune biblically, and she was saying, you know, what you're going to see, telling me what I'm going to see in my lifetime would just astound me. And she had referenced pretty much everything we talked about in the show, she had referenced in one form or another, even going back to the biblical Holy Land and, you know, the origins of the Jewish population and such. So, and also, you know, the threat by Russia, the threat by China specifically. And she was really up on that China stuff, even back in the early 70s. When that happens, the Chinese invasion, I mean, that's biblical, literally biblical, right? Is that, would you say that or no?
If you look on our website here that Holly set up with all the news on it today on standeo.com, you'll see down under Earth Changes that the Ibeko volcano is erupting over in Russia's Kuril Island, which is along the Arc of Fire. The Taal volcano in the Philippines has had 252 earthquakes in the last day, 24 hours, which is indicative of it's going to be erupting. And if you look on the show images page at slide 40 and 41, Iceland's volcano is just about ready to pop. They've had 34,000 earthquakes in 2 weeks under the potential point for that volcano to erupt. Congo's volcano, you know, the watchers down there are seeing that about to erupt. We're seeing an increase in Richter 5 plus earthquakes in this first 75 days of this year that we haven't seen since 2013. And with the increase of the volcanoes, the weakness of the fault lines, you know, between, you know, the tectonic plates, I'm thinking we're going to see a lot more of these biblical promises of earthquakes in diverse places. And of course, this brings disruption of services and community, hence disease and fresh water being, you know, not available, that kind of stuff. And then you look at slide 42 on our show images page. Freak biblical sandstorm turns skies over Saudi Arabia blood. It swept everything in a minute in Arar, Saudi Arabia. They've got if you look at the picture underneath that, you can see how red this blood red this sand is. It's just swamped them there. Biblical type things are occurring now. We're getting very close to that moment.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that before the show, and we're seeing things weather-wise, earth changes, which you spoke so much of. We're seeing things that I don't think maybe this stuff happened in the past, I certainly don't think with this frequency and to this degree, in recent or in history, I guess.
Yeah, no, they're all coming together at once. That's the difference. I mean, we've had volcanoes, we've had earthquakes, we've had diseases through history since, the New Testament was written. But to see them all come together and to the extreme, that tells you we're at the point that the prophecies warned about in this tribulation period. We are coming up to Easter or Pesach, Passover.
Yes.
And if you look at slide 48, at the picture, actually, this is in the video, but in the picture it says, why was the napkin folded on, the stone slab that Jesus' body was laid on when he left? The napkin was not just thrown on the floor. It was, folded. So here's what that video shows you. It says the servant would know then to clear the table when his master has left the table. Would know to clear the table, for in those days the wadded napkin meant I'm done, take away the dishes and whatever. But if the master got up from the table and folded his napkin and laid it beside his plate, the servant would not dare touch the table because the folded napkin meant I'm coming back. Now, that's a small thing perhaps, but to me it was a major clue in the sepulcher there, in the grave of Jesus. He's saying, I'm coming back, and to all Jewish people who knew this tradition, they would understand he's coming back from that folded napkin. Isn't that cool?
Yes, and I don't think I ever really considered that. You know, from my days back in the seminary, learning about the resurrection, I guess I never really considered that. I've never associated that with I'm coming back.
There are clues everywhere, that Jesus has left and his disciples and apostles have written. There are just clues everywhere about this time, and we're always constantly learning. If we're studying at all, we'll see these things. I wanted to address something here, slide 47. You know, I've been talking to you about faster-than-light drive, toroidal propulsion, that kind of stuff, and you can see in the picture there in 47, it's a model that's been made by a NASA contractor designing a spaceship that can go faster than the speed of light. And if you look at it, it's got two toroids. And these are donut-shaped things which allow you to curl space by shooting energy ahead of the craft on the left so that it bends around and closes in and forms this looping donut like a smoke ring, except, it's out of the field of space. And space is not empty, by the way. You can move it like water with various devices. So here they're now coming on saying, yeah, well, they didn't say Stanley, but they're saying, yes, you can go faster than that and not violate, Einstein, which I agree with. I've built a device to show the concept over in slide 45. If you look there, we've got, a drawing that I made of a device I built to make smoke rings using a Coke bottle with the bottom cut off and everything. And it's interesting. Now, these smoke rings travel forward. They don't go up and down, in and out. They travel forward in a rolling motion so that their wave is not, a longitudinal wave, or maybe it is. I don't know. It's one that goes straight rather than ripple. And this is interesting because sound is the same kind of a wave as these toroidal things are. And the article in slide 44 is a video about using vibration of sound to move a heavy stone, just the sound wave. Now, to be fair about it, what has happened is they've got a stone sitting on top of a thing that vibrates back and forth like one of these hand vibrators, you know, that you used to rub the scalp with. But anyway, this is moving back and forth parallel to the ground and vibrating this rock, and it's moving forward. Now, that's not exactly what I think happens when you build pyramids and large buildings by using sound to move the stones, because this is actually, you know, causing the stone to vibrate against the dirt, and you're having to punch that energy in constantly. What I think they were talking about in the, like, the Tibetan method of doing it is they make this low-frequency sound through these pipes or the or horns, and they aim that at an object. And in one of the studies I saw, they actually moved, in a test, several hundred monks used the horns and moved a heavy stone up, straight up a mountain face, 90 degrees, up to the top of by using sound, but not touching it, just broadcasting the sound to that rock. Now, it had to be a sound whose wavelength matched the diameter of that stone. Because once you can do that, you can start storing energy in that stone, and it will do wondrous things. Harmonic motion is what I'm talking about. Nikola Tesla said, you know, you can move anything with harmonic motion and harmonic energy exchange. To the left of the slide 44 and slide 43, I've shown this a number of times, you can get to the video where I was experimenting with sound coming up and down, you know, like the length of a bottle of Coke up and down, to produce spheres that floated constantly and were regenerated by the sound coming into the fluid of the Coke. It created the system and it maintained the system until I turned off the sound, and then this little globule you see there of Coke, like a planet or a star, just melted back into the Coke surface. I'm looking at ways to broadcast toroids of sound at low frequency, you know, like between 1 and 10 cycles a second, toward a stone, and see if I can get the stone to accept that energy and start vibrating its molecules until the point where you can just push on it with your finger and move it across the dirt. I don't think it'll make it levitate per se, but I think the energy stored in its atoms for a period of time will make it bounce up and down against the dirt or whatever it's on, so that you can move it with much less force. Its friction coefficient is reduced greatly. So anyway, that's a long way to say I'm thinking that, you know, we can revive this technology if we do it properly, using energy pulsed in tori at a certain frequency, low frequency of sound, into objects. And you just tune it until you see, you can put your hand on the rock and tune the thing that's sending the sound into it. You can wait until you feel it start to increase in vibrational strength on the stone. Know that you've been tuned to it. And that's, I think, how they might have done the pyramids. Because there is a hieroglyph showing that they laid out a mat, a papyrus mat, in front of these big stones in the pyramid. And one of the scientists there in Egypt would touch the rock with a rod with a ball or something at the end of it. And the stone would then kind of leapfrog. They'd be able to push it across to the next papyrus, you know, mat, and leapfrog it to where the destination is. So I'm thinking that they were doing something to cause vibrations to store in the rock at its own resonant frequency, which means it stores the energy. You're not just hitting it once and it goes, oh, you know, that was a neat sound. It's storing that energy in heaps. And that gives you a rock that's vibrating with the force of many times of what you were using in the speaker to deliver to it. Anyway, that's enough on science. I love it.
Excavators are going to be put out of business. You know, but no, I love that explanation. And I suspect that maybe, you know, voice moving mountains perhaps comes to mind. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
With just a little faith. Yeah.
I'll just say this, folks, Stan Deo's, join his Patreon meetings, because if you like that, you're going to love his meetings. Again, I'm still freaked out by the pickle jar thing, but that's just me. Wow. Just wow. Go to the show images page, standeo.com. That's standeo, D-E-Y-O.com. And don't forget to dare to prepare. Buy Dare to Prepare, Cosmic Conspiracy as well, and support Stan and Holly on Patreon. You know what? We're out of time, my friend.
All right. Well, happy St. Patty's Day.
That's right. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow. We go through the eyes of March, now St. Pat's Day. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
God bless
you and your wife. All right. Furry one, indeed. All right. Folks, that'll do it for me. I just want to say thank you to everyone who supports us, who is a part of the Hagman family. Yes, I look at you almost as family, as family. God bless everyone. God bless you. Please, CoachDaveLive.com, two events. Please tell others. Good night.